In the name of Jesus, amen. Alone and nameless, a Samaritan woman, trudged from the valley of Sychar to the ancient well dug in the field that once had belonged to the patriarch, one of the fathers of Israel, Jacob. Famished in body and soul, and the water jug pushing likely in the crook of her neck, she sought a spring of life for her parched lips and her parched soul. The hot sun beat down upon her as she walked. Even as she looked out, the well-watered vineyards looked lifeless in the glare of the hot midsummer Judean sun. It is not certain why this woman came to the well at noontime. There is conjecture. That is, perhaps she was trying to avoid the gossipy lips of those who often gathered at the well. Maybe she was avoiding public shame from a sinful life of serial adultery and present fornication. Or it could have been that it was not her sin at all, but simply the burden that she carried of being dismissed by five husbands giving her a certificate of divorce. But whatever it was, her promiscuous way of life and the way she had lived her life had brought disillusionment and heartache to her body and soul. And she longed to find a new way of life. But she likely, as many of us do, thought it was too late for her. Her sins were too much. Whatever it was, though, she came to the well, wanting water. But as you well know, what she needed was the word of life, the word that gives life in the water. What she needed to be restored to is not only in body, but also in soul. Now we know that Jesus had come earlier to the well, for he was making his way from Galilee to Judea, and he was already sitting on probably a hard stone step beside the well. And he spoke quickly to her, saying to her, "Give me a drink." The request probably shocked the woman to no end, for he is a Jew and she is a Samaritan, and their kinds do not mingle, nor do they speak to each other. But then Jesus answered her, "You know, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that says it to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." But how does one restore one's soul, as the Bible often talks about? Now, a surgeon's hand can mend a broken bone or take out a ruptured appendix or remove cancer cells as much as they can, or even reach into your damaged heart and replace it with one that has less miles or less beats on it. But your soul? Your soul is a completely different matter in a sense. After all, it can't be seen, can't be touched by human hands, it can't be examined on an operating table. And yet, it feels just as deeply as the heart does. Abuse that ends a childhood innocence all too quickly. A miscarriage that abruptly ends the hope and desire of fatherhood and motherhood. Divorce that tears a marriage and a family apart. Guilt, worry, doubt, shame, anxieties, these all hide beneath the surface of our lives. And these things, I don't really need to tell you, cut far deeper than any surgeon's scalpel. They scar the soul, making it restless, making it tired. Longing for life as God meant it to be. And so this woman is very much a mirror image of the afflicted sinner by his own sins and by the sins of the world. Of all of us who long for restoration and redemption and recreation. For to one degree or another, we all have moments of restlessness and anxiety and fear and dread and doubt, and the list could go on and on. So maybe it's 3 a.m. and you're still awake in bed and unable to stop yourself from thinking about what is going on in your life. Maybe it's 5 p.m. and it's about time to get off of work and you're going home to perhaps a fractured family or a tense marriage or wondering if it will ever get better in life. Whatever it is, the dissonant nature between what should be life according to God's design and what it is as it is mangled by sin and death flows like an undercurrent through our life, pulling us and dragging us downward, making us weary of even living as we go through the motions of each and every day. In the same breath, as this woman comes to the well, there Jesus is. And he is the fountain of an ever-living water. He is the wellspring of eternal life. And so the same Lord who was indeed the rock that gave Israel water in the desert as they were parched, now pours out water to this woman at the well. To her and to you, a shepherd comes. To her, a Samaritan outcast and sinner. To you and I, an outcast and sinner. The Lord draws near for her, for you, for all. In this sense, we should often think about, in this case, that Jesus here is the bridegroom come to rescue his bride, the church. For Jacob's well is not an accidental location for John's speaking of the woman at the well. For at this well, we know long, long ago, Isaac met Rebecca and Jacob met Leah, and Jesus now meets a Samaritan woman. For though our bodies and souls' sins are deep and they are scarlet red, in Jesus, covered with the graft of his fleshly forgiveness, we are indeed reborn and made new in the living water of a baptismal well. So Jesus continues this conversation with this woman as he offers her water, this living water. And she is very puzzled about this living water and how he could even offer her any sort of water because he doesn't even have a bucket to get the water. And then she really wonders, well, are you greater than our father Jacob? You know the simple answer. Yes, he is. He's Jacob's son, and yet at the same time, he's Jacob's Lord. And the water that he offers wells up from him, and it overflows in him through the words that he speaks and the miracles that he does. And the water that he gives, therefore, teems with his life-renewing, life-giving power. A lavish washing of new birth, a cleansing of soul and body. So for us and for this Samaritan woman, we must understand that Jesus is the sole source of all living water. That his life, his death, his resurrection are a life-giving stream of new life. We will see this vividly as we enter into Holy Week, and especially on that Good Friday afternoon. As Jesus is crucified, and he cries out, "I thirst," and does so that we might never cry out those two words, "I thirst." Always having the living water, that he gives for our souls and our bodies. For Jesus is the very way of life, and we see this as his pierced side, is pierced by that Roman centurion, and flowing out comes water and blood, right? That water and blood creates, redeems, and sanctifies his church to be his holy and spotless bride without any wrinkle or blemish. Jesus sits by the well as a shepherd, as a bridegroom, coming to offer this woman, his bride, and the church life-giving water. He sits by a faithless bride, coming and restoring and redeeming and rescuing her. We consider for a moment the woman's experience. We don't know this exactly, but certainly here is a woman who is in need of love. She's thirsty for love. And for once in her life, she meets a man who does not fight with her, but actually fights for her. A man who will give rather than take from her. A man who will cover her shame rather than expose it. And what he gives this man to this bride is marvelous, for he gives his life for her, for you. And that is what a bridegroom does for his bride. But that is indeed the reflection of what it is to be a husband unto a wife. And so this living water that Jesus gives to this woman declares her to be his child and heir, and the honor, the respect, the glory, the peace that she finds in this water that Jesus gives her frees her to speak about the hope that she has about the Messiah, about her past, and how this living water has washed completely away her past with all of its brokenness and given her hope for the future. So our thirst, like our guilt and our shame, it will come and it will go, but what Jesus gives her and what Jesus gives to us will never run dry or dry up or pass away. For when the waters of life run a current of fear and doubt and anxiety and anger and depression and despondency, the living waters of Jesus run far deeper. For Jesus says, "The water that I shall give will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life, deeper than your sins." Jesus, our shepherd and redeemer, sits there by the well. We, like the Samaritan woman, famished in body and soul, we trudge from our villages and our towns and from our lives and homes, and we come to a font of water springing up unto eternal life. We call it the baptismal font. We call it the remembrance of your baptism by the sign of the Holy Cross upon your forehead and upon your heart. That you are marked as a child of paradise in those blessed baptismal waters when they were washed over you in the Word. For the words and the gifts of our Lord run deep and deeper still than any of your troubles, deep enough to forgive the scarlet sins that you have, deep enough to crush the head of the serpent, deep enough to conquer hell and empty death of its power, and deep enough to raise you from the dead and give you eternal life. This is why the prophet Ezekiel says, "Let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires the water of life without price come. For it is here for you. In this place, flowing from a font and a pulpit and an altar, free for the taking, no charge. For the price has already been paid for this water that flows from the temple of Christ's body. So today you drink, And today you eat for the forgiveness of your sins. And you are filled, like the Samaritan woman, with living water that wells up to eternal life. Your past is forgiven. Your present is made calm and content. And your future is secured. And as you go from this temple with such confidence and security from the source of this living water, this water will well up in you to overflowing. And we pray that by the Spirit of God, it will bring you into contact with other thirsty bodies and souls. That the Spirit of God will form your feeble words, whatever they may be, into cups to hold this living water. And to pray that your thirsty friends and family who do not know about this living water to come like the people of Samaria came. And to believe because they hear Jesus themselves in the Word. And that they drink with Jesus this water. And that they are thirsty no more. Until all who have drunk this living water of Christ Jesus and rejoice together beside a living stream of water that flows from the throne in the new heavens and the new earth. In the name of Jesus, Amen.